Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Are Latinos trending for Donald Trump? Hispanics seem to be rising up in record numbers for the president. We dive into that and so much more with Steve Cortez. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support, charliekirk.com/support. Hispanics for Trump. We got the answers. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of The Charlie Kirk Show. Honored to be joined by a friend of mine, Steve Cortez, who is an advisor to the president in his 2020 race. He does an amazing job with Salem, and we're going to be now doing some fun things together with the Salem Radio Network as well. I see him on Fox News all the time defending the president and talking about how Hispanic support is building for the president. First of all, Steve, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Charlie, thanks so much.
So, Steve, can you walk us through? I've been seeing a lot of polls. I've been seeing a lot of stories that Latino and Hispanic voters are really, they're growing in their support for the president. Is this true? Is this what you're seeing? And if so, why?
Absolutely. This is certainly happening. Hispanics are rallying to the president's cause. And this has really been going on for years. You know, Hispanic voters in 2016 were a critical part of the biggest political upset in American history that the Trump campaign pulled off. We got 29% of the Hispanic vote. That's according to CNN exit polling. So I'm not giving you some right wing, you know, number there. And that was about double where we were versus most expectations and a lot of public polling at that time. We have built on that level since then. And right now, in terms of public polling out there, most of it shows Hispanic support in the 40% area nationally. Our private polling largely reflects that, doing slightly better, more like the mid 40s. And then in certain states, like, for instance, the state of Florida, we're actually showing Hispanics in a lot of public polling, Hispanics leading, meaning Trump leading among Hispanic voters in states like Florida. So I think that there is a groundswell going on. There is a structural shift going on. And I think there are two real reasons. And I'll give you sort of the negative one, not that it's negative for us, but meaning we're benefiting from the mistakes of the Democratic Party. And I also want to give you the positive reason. And then so the negative one first is that as the Democratic Party has lurched leftward, and that is just the reality right now, this Democratic Party is not your parents' or grandparents' Democratic Party. It is not a place that is in any sense welcoming to people who would have been Democrats a generation or two ago. You know, working class religious folks who cared about gun rights, those sorts of things. Those people are no longer welcome in the Democratic Party. And we Hispanics as community, and look, this, you know, Hispanics is a massive group of people in this country. About 60 million total Americans are of Hispanic descent. So we never want to speak about Hispanics in some monolithic way. But there are characteristics that are common throughout Hispanic demographics and throughout regions of the country and the various ethnicities. And one of them is that we tend to be, versus the overall population, a more conservative people. And I mean that religiously, culturally, and politically. And the Democratic Party of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris has no place for such people. So as the party lurches left, it has effectively made a heck of a lot of Latinos, and many of them used to vote Democratic. It has made them effectively political orphans. So that's the one side of the equation. Then the other side, which is the positive America First side, is that the economy has been so rewarding to working class people, and almost all Hispanics statistically belong in that category. The Obama-Biden years were great for people who are already successful, for the owners of assets. If you had a lot of stock in real estate, you did well. But for wage earners, which is the vast preponderance of the country, it was a really, really tough slog. And that was certainly the case for a lot of Hispanic Americans. We've seen the opposite so far with President Trump. In the first Trump boom, until our expansion was artificially halted by the China virus, Hispanics leaped to the lead of income gains. So all Americans were doing well, white collar, blue collar, all colors, all ethnicities. But it is the American strivers, the economic underdogs. Those were the people who were doing the best. blue collar workers, people who may not have advanced degrees, minorities, and Hispanics, again, were leading that charge. We're now seeing the beginnings of a very real second Trump boom. And that's not just my opinion. The economic data really show that. I worked on Wall Street for 25 years before I got into politics. Donald Trump dragged me into politics in 2016. I pay a lot of attention to these economic stats. I'm a bit of a numbers nerd. And the numbers we're seeing lately in the last few months are nothing short of momentous. It's pretty incredible, the level of acceleration in this economy. And we know we still have work to do, but there are very valid data-driven reasons to believe in the second Trump boom. And Hispanics are already, once again, leaping to the forefront of it. You know, one of the things I'm most proud of the Hispanic community in America is that we are statistically the most entrepreneurial demographic in America, and actually by quite a long shot. We love to start new businesses, mom and pop operations that we hope become bigger than that. Well, Hispanics, I think, know intrinsically that President Trump, our first entrepreneur president, understands how to create the conditions for small and medium-sized enterprises to thrive. So I think when you take all of that in its totality, where the Democratic Party has gone with its lurch leftward, plus the economic record of Donald Trump, including the real-time current economic renaissance unfolding in this country, it creates a compelling case for Hispanics, and the early evidence suggests we're doing well. We're finding success there.
Good Ranchers is an amazing product, everybody. Do you guys want meat delivered to your door? Good Ranchers began with the standard of bringing top quality, 100% American-born, raised and harvested meat to families across America. This vision was instilled into them from their grandparents that owned community grocery stores and believed in trust, charity, and family values. Good Ranchers partners directly with only American ranchers across America to bring the highest quality meat straight to your door. I've had this meat sent. It's incredible. You guys will love it. It's 100% American-raised beef straight to your door. Beef the way it used to be and the way it should be. Get America's best grass-fed beef finished directly to your door. Don't forget that shipping is always free and the taste is always delicious. GoodRanchers.com, 100% American beef, chicken, and more. Support American ranchers and support the American economy. Skip the grocery store mystery meat, which is disgusting, and buy direct from GoodRanchers.com. It comes straight to your door. So what do? You go to goodranchers.com. Goodranchers.com delivers your favorite meats. Use the promo code Charlie. You save $20 off. If you guys are looking for some barbecue before the weather turns, if you guys are looking for something to really unify the family around, what could be better than beef from the best ranches in America? Goodranchers.com. T-bones, ribeyes, fillets, and more. And home delivery is always free. GoodRanchers.com. Use the promo code Charlie. As you can tell, I'm passionate about it. GoodRanchers.com.
So can you help build this out for me, Steve? Because I'm trying to understand the nuance here and not view Hispanic and Latino voters as a monolith. Why is the president doing so well with Hispanic and Latino voters in Florida and not in Arizona? Is it because of the Cuban voters? What am I missing here? Because in Arizona, and I don't take these polls very seriously, but the trends, I think, are basically true. There is a discrepancy here where the president is doing better in Florida than in Arizona. Can you build that out for me?
Sure, absolutely. And by the way, I agree with you. You know, I don't care so much about the actual rate or, you know, the actual number of a lot of these polls, but I do care a lot about the trends, because I think the trends are generally correct. When it shows tightening, even if we don't think the number's valid, tightening matters, widening matters.
I completely agree. That's right.
Yeah. So, and no, listen, on that basis, we are doing better in Florida than Arizona. Now, listen, I think we're going to be very competitive in Arizona, but I'll be the first to admit I'm a realist. I'm not a sycophant, and I will say we are clearly doing better in Florida. And the reason why, I believe, primarily, is because Florida doesn't have a lot of Mexican-Americans generally, far more Central and South Americans, and of course, Cubans. And I think that the socialist message that the Democratic Party has been pushing has particularly resonance in a negative way in Florida. And what I mean by that, so many Floridians are of Cuban and Venezuelan descent, particularly those two. So many of them, either they themselves came from those countries or their parents or grandparents came from these countries. And so perhaps like no other people in America, Florida Latinos tend to be hyper aware of the dangers of socialism. So the kind of talk from AOC that may be very popular in Brooklyn or in Brentwood is not at all popular in Pompano Beach and in Miami-Dade County. Mm-hmm. And so I think we are benefiting, we meaning the Trump campaign, President Trump himself, we are benefiting more from that aspect in Florida than we are necessarily in Arizona. But what I will say in Arizona, and I think this is, you know, it's a bit of a different appeal. So it's not so much our persuasion, our messaging to the voters to earn their votes. Hispanics in Arizona, I think, has to revolve more around economy, gun rights, very big issue in a lot of Western states, and including a lot of Mexican Americans who take their Second Amendment rights really seriously. And then we shouldn't be afraid to talk about the border either. I think sometimes there are Republicans, unfortunately, who want to try to sell a sort of Democrat light version to Hispanic Americans. And that does not work. No, listen, Hispanic American citizens of the United States, whether born here or legal immigrants like my father, they are not soft on immigration. And polling backs me up on this, by the way. This isn't just my intuition, but I will tell you, it's also, I think, anecdotally true when you talk to Mexican Americans. So we shouldn't be afraid to talk about the president isn't, thankfully. So I'm optimistic we'll do well, but I'll be the first to admit right now, we're doing better in Florida with Hispanics than we are in Arizona.
Yeah, and I think that it's interesting culturally, because in South Florida in particular, as you mentioned, there are still the stories that are embedded in the culture of Little Havana of no tolerance at all whatsoever for communist light or Democrat candidates at all. In Arizona, it's a little bit different. And I think you have a culture in Arizona that I agree is actually, I think the immigration is actually a winning issue in Arizona. I think that pandering and getting in the competition of who can do DACA better is actually a losing proposition for Republicans. Most Hispanic voters actually want an immigration system that is built on laws, and they don't want that pandering. And it's also an incredibly pro-life community. Can you walk us through that, Steve, about how the social issues actually are winning issues in the Hispanic community? Because this is another thing that Mitt Romney and all those losers in our party that came before President Trump, they try to persuade us to be socially liberal and fiscally conservative. But with Latino voters, it's actually the exact opposite. They tend to be a little more fiscally moderate, but actually very socially conservative. Can you walk us through that? A lot of it has to do with the Catholic culture and the strong family values.
No, absolutely. Because, you know, Catholics are overwhelmingly Christian, whether they're Catholic or evangelical. And the evangelical community among Hispanics is exploding in this country. But you're right. And again, to put some data here, there is a Pew Research poll of Hispanics. And on the pro-life issue, Hispanics are 17% more pro-life than our white Americans. And Charlie, as much as you study polling, you know that kind of a discrepancy, I mean, speaking of Arizona, that's as big as the Grand Canyon. I mean, it really is. When they asked, should abortion be legal all or most of the time, 61% of whites said yes, only 44% of Hispanics. So they are clearly a decidedly more pro-life group than our other Americans. And the Republican Party, number one, we should stand for life because it's the right thing to do, of course. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, in terms of political expediency, this happens to be one of those cases where you can stand on principle and win because the politics line up behind you well. So, yeah, I totally agree. Let's make sure that we talk about the fact that Joe Biden, who once upon a time was a relatively centrist politician. I will admit that, you know, the Joe Biden of 2020, it's a myth that he's a moderate, but in his half century in the Washington swamp, there were times when he took fairly reasonable positions. For example, he backed the Hyde Amendment. He didn't want government funding abortion. But that is decades and decades ago. That is not the Joe Biden of today. The Joe Biden of today literally believes in abortion all the way up until the moment of birth and perhaps after. I mean, we really don't know, quite frankly. We know Northam, Governor Northam is fine with after. We don't know exactly where Biden stands. But just that kind of extremism on the life issue, that I think we should be unafraid to talk about that and to promote the truth that this president has been the most pro-life president in American history. And I think, by the way, for Hispanics, you know, a really powerful video and powerful message to showcase for them was Sister Dee Dee Byrne, who spoke at the Republican National Convention. And she was so persuasive and eloquent. And it was so clear that she was so speaking from her heart, somebody who's not after political power in any sense, who has nothing personally to gain. As a matter of fact, probably took quite a lot of heat for what she did. I think that brave warriors for life like Sister Dee Dee are going to help us in our quest to win over Hispanic Americans. And, you know, and again, we've got to earn their vote. And I think we do it by highlighting the fact that they have no home in the Democratic Party of 2020 on the one hand. And then on the other hand, we believe in their values and we want to foster a prosperity for them, in part, by the way, so that they can have families. I mean, prosperity is not an end in and of itself. prosperity is what it produces. It's a goal because of what it can allow a society to do, allow a family to do. It means that people can have children. They can have more children. They can send them to private schools. They can support their churches. They can support community. You know, all the things that can be done. It's not money for its own sake, right? We're not Gordon Gekko. That's not our movement. We believe in prosperity, but prosperity because of how that allows a society to flourish, including in the moral sphere.
I love that.
There's a big problem out there. Our heroes, first responders, they have a tough job to do. And they also have to pay out of pocket for their own gear that they need to do their job. EMS, police, fire, medical workers on the front lines, and even military units deal with constrained budgets and outdated gear. But there's still a job to do, and you need the gear to do it. Hunting for military and first responder discounts has historically required going from one website to another, creating multiple accounts, logins to make purchases, and jumping through various hoops to verify your source. Don't you wish there was one place you could visit that had a carefully crafted selection of deals for military and first responders in one spot? Where there is. It's called GovX. GovX works directly with brands to negotiate the best prices possible because you deserve the gear you need at the prices you've earned. Plus, you can trust that the gear you're ordering is 100% authentic, direct from the manufacturer. A huge collection of gear and apparel from popular brands all in one convenient location. GovX honors your service and gives back to your communities. If you're an American of service, a current or former member of the military, firefighting, frontline medical, or law enforcement communities, or the emergency medical, join GovX for free and enjoy a community that honors and gives back to patriots like you. So right now, you guys go to GovX.com, GovX.com, use the promo code Kirk, $15 off your first orders of $50 or more. Use the promo code Kirk, K-I-R-K. So please go to GovX.com, use the promo code Kirk.
Can you also build out a little bit for me how the Democrats have, I think, overly pandered to BLM Incorporated? And I think when you get into political pandering, it's very, very dangerous. And I think the president has done a great job of not doing this, because his message is the same to all groups of people, no matter where they are across the country, which I think is such an important thing. But have the Democrats made a miscalculation by, I think, overemphasizing the BLM Inc. movement, which quite honestly is glorifying looting, is rooted in ingratitude? And I point to some of this very positive Hispanic polling. And just so we're clear, I was just reading some of this polling as you were finishing that answer, Steve. It's so important that if this polling holds to be true, the trends, right? We don't know the numbers. The president's going to win re-election. I mean, it's just that, I mean, the Democrats were counting on dominating the Hispanic vote, and that is now a crisis in their campaign right now. Is some of this that a lot of Hispanic and Latino voters, I think they have an inherent gratitude to be in America, especially those that came here legally, where it feels like the BLM movement is all about ingratitude. This country is awful. It's racist. And I've talked to a lot of, you know, I went to a high school. I went to Wheeling High School, you know, Chicago really well. 53% English as a second language. I grew up with a lot of Hispanic Latino voters. A lot of them had gratitude towards America. It wasn't that this country is awful. Do you think that that kind of narrative has turned off a lot of voters that are in the Hispanic and Latino community? And also moving forward, can you just paint a broader picture, Steve? What do Republicans and conservatives have to do better when it comes to policy? And I think you've touched on a little bit, but I'd love to have you kind of, build that out even more.
Sure. You know, well, first to this philosophical issue, you know, of love of America and a belief in our foundation and our founding ideals. Yeah, I think this is critical, and because the Democratic Party has chosen, they made a volitional choice to go down the road of essentially the 1619 Project combined with a lot of BLM nonsense, where they are pushing a narrative, and it's just an absolute fake narrative, that America was born in corruption and has existed in corruption and oppression ever since, rather than the actual truth, which is that America was born in liberty and born in principles that are truly majestic. Now, we have failed because we are a human institution, a human organization, a country. We have failed at times and in some cases in profound ways to live up to our very own ideals. But those failures in no way negate the majesty, as I mentioned, of those very ideals. That is the reality of our country. I think Hispanics instinctively understand that, particularly ones who are either current immigrants or recently immigrated to this country. I have to tell you, you know, in my own case, my father had an intense love, just an intense patriotic love for this country. He left Colombia in South America at a time when Colombia was absolutely, you know, unfortunately overrun with violence and corruption. Thankfully, Colombia is doing pretty well now.
Because of a new government, yeah.
Yes, but that was not the case for a long, long time. Certainly was not the case when my father was young.
Yeah, it was the most dangerous country in the world, yeah, for a long time.
He so appreciated what he found here in America. And by the way, he detested the idea of illegal immigration. He couldn't believe that people would break the law and disrespect this great country that welcomed him, because he also knew, like any legal immigrant, he knew how difficult and time-consuming and expensive it is. It's not easy to become a legal new citizen of the United States. But to get back to the point, too, about the unfortunate narrative of, you know, BLM, Inc., let's face it, they are encouraging lawlessness. And part of why they're willing to do that, and when I say they, I mean the leadership of BLM, leadership of the corporations who are financing BLM, media personalities. The reason a lot of them are willing to do that, Charlie, is, let's be honest, they don't have to actually live with the consequences. And what I mean by that is, the police aren't as important necessarily to them because they live in extremely wealthy, secluded areas. They have private security. They live in you know, extremely luxury high rises with a doorman. It's not as much of an issue to them. Police protection is much more important to poor people, to people of middle income, to people who live in neighborhoods that are okay, you know, neighborhoods that can be dangerous. The police can be literally life or death for those kinds of people. A lot of Hispanics, by the way, fit that bill. So when you talk about defunding the police, and I know Joe Biden uses synonyms, he says, oh, we're going to redirect, and Kamala Harris said, we're going to reimagine. I mean, you know, we know what they're talking about. We know where they're going. By the way, so do the cops, which is why every major police organization in America has endorsed Donald Trump this round. And we're very grateful and humbled by their endorsement. But when Hispanics hear that kind of talk, when they see the kind of violence in the cities across this country, and they know that they are vulnerable to it, they know that this would impact them very, very directly. I think that that's something that properly frightens them and something they're revolting against. I think it's, again, part of the reason they want jobs, not mobs. You know, I keep using that phrase over and over because I just think it's a quick, powerful way to say, this is who we are. This is where we want to go. This is what we are not. This country wants jobs, not mobs. That's true, certainly, of all good Americans, but I think it's particularly true you know, for Hispanics. And I would tell you, Charlie, you know, going forward, look, we're making a lot of progress. To me, the biggest issue and the issue, you know, we're going to reelect this president. And then someday in a few years, we're going to start talking about the post-Trump Republican Party. And when we do, I believe that the most important goal for the Republican Party when it comes to reaching out to Hispanics on an ongoing basis, so that we can say, you know, over decades, we're winning the Hispanic vote, is, again, you know, what I mentioned earlier. Don't try to offer a Democrat light vision. You know, don't try to water down our ideals. Number one, it's just not right on principle. But number two, it doesn't work. You know, no, you never win anybody over by being milquetoast in anything in life, right? You know, whether it's a company selling products or it's a political movement trying to gain followers and believers. So, you know, strong on the border, strong on life, strong on Second Amendment, pro-prosperity, pro-small business, trade deals, you know, all of these are the things, the Trump agenda, but, you know, and then some. I really do believe, to your point earlier, I think that a lot of Hispanics will rally to what essentially used to be the Democratic Party, you know, way, way back, you know, pre-1960s. And what I mean by that is a party that is socially conservative, but, you know, willing to be not, I don't want to say economically liberal, but not doctrinaire in an Austrian economics way on the economy. You know, economic populist, economic nationalist populist on matters of enterprise, and then very, very conservative on matters of social policy.
I completely agree.
If you're a business owner, you don't need to tell us that running your business is tough, but you might be making it harder on yourself than necessary. Don't let QuickBooks and spreadsheets slow you down anymore. It's time to upgrade to NetSuite. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it. Ditch the spreadsheets and all the old software that you've outgrown. Now is the time to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, and more. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue, save time and money with NetSuite. Join the over 21,000 companies using NetSuite right now. Let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/Kirk. Do it right now. I've done it. You guys should as well. netsuite.com/Kirk. Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Kirk. netsuite.com/Kirk.
I think that if you become the party that represents normal people that earn less than $80,000 a year, that work at their hands, that just want to live a stable and peaceful life, I think that is the path forward for the Republican Party, that is a little bit more reluctant to get into these adventures overseas, that wants to have stricter immigration. I think you win every election in a landslide. I think you win half of the black vote. I think you can win Hispanic voters. And I think Donald Trump has demonstrated that in a very, very powerful way. And I also think challenging corporate interests where necessary is a winning political message and also the morally right thing to do. I don't think it's a good thing that Amazon pays no corporate taxes. I think the president's been terrific on that. So, Steve, can you also just mention what you're seeing broadly with Biden and the president? You said something the other day that I love, and I've been repeating it, that this virus was an epidemiological Pearl Harbor. I just love that. It's phenomenal. Can you just build it out for us where you see the race, what you think the president needs to do to achieve victory, and what are you most concerned about that you're able to share with the audience?
Sure. No, and by the way, yeah, regarding the virus, I think this is critical because, of course, corporate media and the Biden campaign, they're trying to push this reprehensible idea that this is somehow Donald Trump's fault. Now, look, it is no American's fault, not the Democrats, not President Trump. The only people on earth who are responsible for this crisis are the Chinese Communist Party. And we have to be very honest, I think, about that, that they knowingly deceived the entire world. They infected the globe and they crashed the world economy. And it really was an epidemiological Pearl Harbor that we were hit with. This was a biological war. That doesn't mean necessarily that they manufactured it, by the way. I'm not saying that. That's irrelevant. We know that once they, well, I mean, it's relevant that they did, but my point is it's irrelevant to the point I'm making. We know that once they knew they had human-to-human transmission in Wuhan, they lied to the world. They used the WHO to give them a medical, you know, stamp of approval for their lie. They continued to send the citizens of Wuhan unknowingly. These people had no complicity in it all over the world while they sealed Wuhan off from the rest of China. I mean, this is just pure evil. And it's important, I think, for the American people to know that. But we can't go back in time and change their behavior, unfortunately. What we can do is decide from here forward, how do we approach China? How do we approach the economy, the necessary rebuild? And on those topics, I think President Trump has an incredibly compelling case to make to the American people that, number one, he's been the first American leader really ever to stand up to the Chinese Communist Party, to demand fairness and reciprocity in trade, and to make it known in no uncertain terms that we will no longer be abused by the Chinese Communist Party, even if a lot of American elites in business and politics and media are very willing to be the collaborators of the CCP, including Joe Biden. And that's kind of my second point. We need to really highlight, in my view, for these next 49 days, just how complicit Joe Biden has been in China's abuse of the United States. And I mean that mostly from a public policy angle, because his fingerprints are all over every terrible trade deal that has afflicted American workers for a generation. He is a true corporatist, globalist senator from Delaware. That is the reality of who Joe Biden has been for five decades in Washington, D.C. He's also then vulnerable regarding the China issue on a personal level, because the only American job, look, Biden's been shipping jobs overseas for his entire career as a Washington swamp dinosaur. The only American job that I know of that he's ever created was for his son, Hunter, when he had Hunter tag along on these overseas trips, but particularly the one to China aboard Air Force Two, where Hunter met with CCP officials, got the CCP-controlled Bank of China to allocate a staggering $1.5 billion to his private equity fund, even though he had no track record in that business. This is the very definition of cronyism and corruption and nepotism. And to make it even worse, it's all connected with the Chinese Communist Party, the very group of people who just did this to us, who just thrust upon us knowingly, again, the epidemiological Pearl Harbor. But again, we can't change their behavior, but we can make decisions from here forward. And part of that is choosing President Trump for re-election, rehiring the man who created the conditions for the first Trump boom, who has already started the second Trump boom, and the leader who is tough and clear-eyed enough to confront the adversary that is Beijing.
I love that. In closing, last question here, Steve. Can you tell us what happened at CNN? You worked for CNN for a while. Our audience does not think very highly of CNN. What was that like, and what is going on over there?
It's, you know, it's really sad because CNN, let me just start with the organization before I get to me. You know, CNN, they invented the category of cable news, right? I mean, it's incredible. I mean, they have a truly august history, right? I mean, there's been some amazing journalists. They've done unbelievable storytelling, particularly when it came to overseas, you know, to disasters and wars. I mean, when calamitous things happen in the world, you turned on CNN. You know, for decades in this country. And it's really a shame that that legacy has been so squandered because it has become just a joke of an organization. It's the public relations arm of the DNC. I think that's clear to anyone who watches. And if that weren't bad enough, just the level of bias on top of that, they don't even project that bias in an honest way. They use lies largely, you know, and narrative. For example, they keep repeating ad nauseum the Charlottesville lie, the fine people hoax, which a lot of people, and I'm one of them, have spent a lot of time trying to debunk. CNN spends just as much time and dedicates just as much effort over the air to continuing the lie. So it's really a shame, but, you know, but also my personal experience, I was asked to go there by the president himself, and I was happy to do it because, look, I'm a happy warrior, and I'm willing to dive in to the cauldron, you know, and take on the opposition. And I said, to put it in religious terms, I viewed myself as a political evangelist. I was trying to win over lost souls at CNN. But ultimately, unfortunately, they didn't want a political missionary, and they benched me. But what they did, which was even worse, is it would have been fine to fire me. Just say, hey, Cortez, enough of this, not working, get lost. And I, by the way, I asked for that. I said, just let me go. I was literally under contract. So they were paying me. And I'm sure some of the listeners are saying, well, not the worst thing to get paid to not work. But still, this isn't what I wanted because I want to be in the fight. So they were paying me. I was under contract, but they would not put me on air on CNN for the last 6 months of my contract. I couldn't go on any other network either because of the contract. So they were literally, that's how biased and narrative driven they are. They would rather pay somebody if they think you're effective messaging. They'd rather pay you to be on the sidelines than let you out of your contract so that you can go elsewhere, you know, and promote your message. So that's the reality, the unfortunate reality of CNN in 2020.
It's hard to even believe and comprehend. Well, Steve, you're doing a great job. Keep on advocating for the president. I know there's a Hispanic for Trump event coming up very soon. So it's very, very important what you're doing. And we appreciate your advocacy and hope to be celebrating a president's reelection. Last thing, what can people do to get involved to help the president? I get this all the time. People say, what can I do? What can I do? So, Steve, what can they do?
So start by texting Trump to 88022. That will get the ball rolling. But there's a lot you can do, whether it's organizing, whether it's watch parties for debates. Certainly donations are welcome, but there's a lot that people can do. Yeah, please do get involved. And I would also just implore, if I can do a plug for myself, I have a show, Maganomics, which is on every Monday night. And we dive into the stories of American entrepreneurs and how the Trump boom has benefited them. And so and there's a lot of those similar kinds of shows that we do where you do, if you don't want to deal with the spin you get on too many cable news shows, tune in for those, please.
You're the best, Steve. All right. Thank you so much. Speak to you soon.
Thanks, Charlie.
You bet. Bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Please consider supporting Turning Point USA and get involved with Turning Point USA. Start a chapter, attend an event, get engaged, get involved in saving our country. Turning Point USA is the premier education organization to educate the next generation around first principles, a strong America, American exceptionalism, freedom of speech, tpusa.com. Check out professorwatchlist.org to find out the radicals that are teaching your kids to hate America. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support, charliekirk.com/support. Chip in some money to help continue the growth of this podcast at charliekirk.com/support. And finally, if you guys want to win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine, type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Hit that subscribe button. Give us a 5-star review. Screenshot it and email us freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. God bless.